smallest termites weighing less than 1 gram to the gigantic elephants weighing in at 5,000 kilograms. The most magnificent of animals can thrive on a completely plant-based vegan diet. Their diet range is broad, consuming foods in the form of fruits, vegetation, seeds, and tree nuts, grown in nature's best fertilizers, sunshine, soil, and water. Living in accordance with nature, these marvelous herbivores inhabit the virgin forests, native plains, deserts, rivers, and oceans of this glorious planet, which we are privileged to share. Each having a vital role in balancing the ecology, they act as Earth's guardian angels, contributing naturally and sometimes silently to life's great symphony. Supreme Master Ching Hai has stated how animals telepathically communicated with her, that if they had a choice, they would be vegetarian. In a video conference with our association members in London, United Kingdom, on June 13, 2008, Supreme Master Ching Hai explained how the noble qualities of animals naturally led them to a plant-based diet.
Meat eating is not fit for anyone. Not even animals, but sometimes they don't have choice, they have to do it. You know, even some of the birds, they're supposed to eat some other smaller insect or something, or smaller fish or smaller bird. When I feed them vegetarian, they don't go there to eat fish or other animal. They continue to come to my house to eat vegetarian. Even my dogs, they refuse meat. They don't eat meat anymore. After they've been with me and vegetarian, they know vegetarian is good, they don't eat meat.
Greetings, animal-loving viewers, and welcome to Vegetarianism, the Noble Way of Living. Today we journey to the island of Tiritiri Matangi, just off the coast of Auckland in New Zealand, for a visit to one of the world's rarest birds, the Takahi. Once home to a lighthouse, boasting the brightest light in the southern hemisphere, Tiritiri Matangi is now a shining example of conservation. Its name, which means tossed by the wind in the Maori language spoken by the indigenous population of New Zealand, is often shortened to Tiritiri. More than half the island is covered in forest, thanks to a huge replanting effort undertaken largely by volunteers between 1984 and 1994. Managed by the Department of Conservation, it is now a safe haven for many rare and endangered native birds, including the Takahi, a large flightless vegan bird belonging to the rail family.
There are other rare and endangered wildlife here on Tiri. Takahi are in total about 230 in total. That's the Murchison Mountains. Another bird which is very low in numbers is the kokako. It is here, and Tiri is part of the breeding program for the kokako. There's the tuatara. We also have the little spotted kiwi. Predator-free islands are the place that you will find these birds able to breed and multiply.
There are very strict biosecurity rules to keep these birds on the island safe. To make sure unwelcomed insects or weed seeds are not taken onto the island, all food carried there must be kept in tightly closed containers, and shoes are checked for soil and seeds. There is a special brush to clean your shoes, both at the place where the ferry departs and on the jetty before you actually step onto the island.
Tiritiri is a scientific reserve in that respect. Everything here is protected, and to ensure that is the case, of course, education is one of our major ways of ensuring that Tiri stays predator-free, by ensuring that people, before they arrive here, are aware of its predator-free status, its specialness, as to how we keep it this way.
Up until relatively recently, the Takahi species was thought to be extinct. Although their numbers have sadly and substantially been reduced due to human hunting, they have managed to survive in the harsh environment of the Murchison and Stuart Mountains, away from people. It was not until 1948 that Dr. Geoffrey Orbell rediscovered the species in the remote Murchison Mountains, near Lake Te Anau of southwestern South Island. The area in which he found the small group of birds is now called Takahe Valley. Thanks to Dr. Orbell's discovery, this bird has been brought back from the brink of extinction. However, only a couple of hundred of these birds exist in the wild, and the Takahe continues to be listed as endangered by the International Union for Conservation of Nature, or the IUCN.
When they were discovered, they sort of did some assessments and found out that they were declining quite rapidly in the wild, so a recovery program was instigated. And part of that is the birds were taken from the Murchison Mountains, the eggs were taken from Murchison Mountains into a breeding program, and they're distributed throughout these predator-free areas.
The Takahe is thought to have come to New Zealand about 5 million years ago. Ancient New Zealand was free from threats, and as a result, some birds, including the Takahe, gradually became flightless. Nonetheless, the Takahe still does have a pair of wings that are used for display. The glossy feathers of the Takahe are a remarkable mix of purples, iridescent greens and blues, with darker blues, an olive green back and wings, and a patch of white feathers under the tail. As we can see, their plumage is quite soft and fluffy, for they do not need strong flight feathers. On a thriving vegan diet, the species also evolved to have large dimensions. Adults typically grow to about 50 centimeters in height, with strong feet and thick legs to support their weight, that sometimes reaches over 3 kilograms.
And they forage on mainly grass, and you can see them when they have their young chick. They actually source out certain parts of the plants to actually feed their chick or go for certain protein for themselves. So they'll grab a root out of the ground of the stem and then hold it in one paw while they munch the root stem.
The Takahe birds spend much of the day eating. They rely on their excellent eyesight as the main sense for finding food and keeping safe. Their favorite plant-based meals consist of tussock grass, mountain daisies, and herbs and roots. Using their powerful bright red beak, they grub in the soil to get the thick, soft stems from under the ground. Takahe only digest the plant juices and not the fibers. Like most birds, they swallow small stones to aid the digestive process. These are kept in their crop and help with breaking up the plants they eat.
Other times of the season, they will be stripping seed heads off the grass heads, and they'll be just running their beak up along it and taking out all the seeds that are on top of the grass. And so they are getting different types of protein through different sources depending on the season and their particular need.
Takahe generally live a good 14 to 20 years and breed slowly, with 2 or 3 eggs laid at a time. Male and female Takahe faithfully bond as a pair for life and lovingly take turns sitting on their eggs. Their nest is made of soft fine grass and tussock and is well hidden under bushes or in long grass. More than one nest may be constructed as a trial before the eggs are laid.
So each year, around about October, November, they start to nest. We don't interfere very much other than just discovering the nest, finding out how many eggs they are sitting on, and we just do a daily check to ensure that they are okay. 5 or maybe 3 chicks are born each year. Each pair can have generally 2 chicks, sometimes 1. We do supplement feed them, which gives them a bit more of a chance to actually sort of make sure they're healthy and can survive through the first 3 months of their life. The parents are very devoted. both partners will actually look after the chick, and it's quite cute to see them being fed, feeding their young chick.
Baby tuckerhead are covered in thick fluffy black down and are fed by both their mum and dad for about their first 4 months of life. Chicks from the previous year may still be with their parents and assist in raising their younger siblings. The chicks have an innate safety strategy, which is to burrow into bushy plants and remain silent if danger is present. Thankfully, at predator-free havens, such as the Tiri Tiri Matangi Scientific Reserve, they are able to enjoy their natural lives to the fullest and in peace. People are also given the precious opportunity to meet these marvelous beings, who we normally would be very unlikely to see anywhere else, especially at such close quarters. In turn, the tuckahay birds have become comfortable around humans, and in the case of Greg, maybe a little too comfortable.
We have one character here. He's the old senior bird on the island. He's about 18 years old, which is quite old for a tuckahay. He seems to time his arrival up at the visitor centre in time for our lunch. So we definitely make sure he doesn't receive any, though he does get the odd sort of bit of bread when he sort of does a leap and a jump and takes a sandwich out of a small person's hand, which surprises them as well. It's definitely discouraged, it's just not good for them. And we can tell this by when you see their normal poos, it's a nice green grass colour. When they suddenly eat a little bit of high protein food from the humans, it certainly changes colour. So Greg on occasions has been down at the wharf, and so when I'm standing up there introducing everybody to the island, Greg will sort of take your thunder away from you and he'll just wander down and start walking through the people. And of course they're not really interested in me, they're more interested in this tuckahay which they haven't seen before. You leave a door open, he'll come in and he'll make his sort of call of going, and he'll just walk in, looking for something, looking for company, looking for food more likely, and then he'll just do a poo and then he'll be chased out. Greg is certainly the one that has a lot of character about him because he's around the humans a great deal. Many boaties come here and they have picnics on the beach. So Greg seemed to cotton on to this is a good time to arrive down at the beach when everyone's having a swim and having their lunches, and he'll wander down there and he'll just see what food he can get. So we've had to create what we call a Greg watch person to actually follow Greg around to ensure that he doesn't get any human food, because the people who have arrived by their private boats may not be aware of the importance of not feeding Greg. And I do remember when I was down there the other 2 years ago, Greg was in the water having a good swim, which is very unusual, but he was just standing there in the water having a cool off. And yeah, so he's quite a character and is well known throughout everybody who's associated with Tiri. He even has a book that's been written about him. It's called Greg the Naughty Tuckahay.
Our appreciation to the Tiri Matangi Scientific Reserve for sharing your valuable insight on the lovely tuckahay. Wishing you the best of success in your efforts to protect and help ensure the healthy future of the rare inhabitants of Tiri Tiri Matangi, so that more and more people learn to cherish these precious feathered friends. Gracious viewers, it was a pleasure having you with us for today's Vegetarianism, the Noble Way of Living. Up next is Between Master and Disciples, here on Supreme Master Television. May you be blessed with love and contentment in the compassionate company of your brethren, human and animal alike.
For more details, please visit www.suprememastertv.com/VEG.